May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 1042. I need not blush to own that he, on whom my hope of heaven is built, was crucified on yonder tree, since 'tis his blood that cancels guilt. Hymn 1042.
Read together from the Holy Word of God, from the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 15. Romans, chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written them more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word. Help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Dear Lord, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Triune Jehovah, Thou who art the true, living God, in heaven above, do help us poor sinners of this earth to come before thee now at the throne of grace. Oh, we would be so thankful for its wonderful provision, that a new and a living way has been made for sinners to approach unto God through Christ Jesus, pleading his name, his blood, his righteousness, his merits, his worth. Oh, hear us for Jesus' sake. And oh, do look upon us as we gather here this evening, as we gather to worship thee. Oh, to be a true worshipper, to worship God in spirit and in truth, and in the beauty of holiness. Deliver us from all that is false, all that is of the flesh of a natural man, from vain traditions, from mere customs. We pray for the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, do come, Lord, and move upon the face of the waters. move upon the hearts of many here tonight. O Lord, work mightily by thy Spirit, by thy word. And may the entrance of thy words give light where there is darkness. O Lord, who shine. O Lord, who shine within the light of thy truth, for thy word is truth. Lord, what poor dark sinners we are. But oh, to know the shining in of the word of God. As we think of Lazarus in the tomb, in the darkness. But oh, where the word of the Lord is, there is power. Oh, what power. Lazarus, come forth, and the light shone into that dark, dreary tomb. And he that was dead came forth, bound hands and foot, in grave clothes, and loose him and let him go. But every step of Lazarus was toward the light. Yes, towards the Lord Jesus. And, O Lord, thou knowest those here tonight who yet feel to be in darkness, and yet who have been awakened, quickened by thy Spirit, and now being taught their need of the Lord Jesus to save them from their sins, venture to the light. I am the light of the world. Oh, Lord, may there be those souls drawn to thee this night, drawn by thy irresistible grace, oh, drawn by those bands of love, those cords of a man, drawn in their need of Christ, in their need of salvation, redemption, sin-atoning blood, spotless righteousness. Oh, drawn to a precious Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I may win Christ and be found in him, a real Christian. Oh, to be a real Christian. Lord, many profess the name of Christian, but oh, to be real. Lord, save us from that which is false, of having a name to live and yet to be dead. Oh, Lord, save us from those like the foolish virgin satisfied with a lamp of profession, but lack the vital oil of grace. Oh, Lord, a very solemn, heart-searching prayer. But if I am wrong, make me right. Lord, if I am right, keep me right. The day shall declare it. It is appointed unto men once to die, then the judgment. Or that judgment day of eternal separation between the sheep and the goats, those on the left hand, those on the right hand. Oh, to be found safe in Christ amongst those dear, blessed, precious sheep, called and saved by grace divine. With them numbered, oh, may I be, now and in eternity. But all those fears lest we should be wrong, all those fears lest we should be presumptuous, oh Lord, oh, to have mercy, we pray. Grant that saving knowledge of Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that spirit of adoption. Oh, to say, Abba Father, my Father, my God, my Saviour, my Redeemer, oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a favour so divine. Oh, Lord, who remember such who long to be made sure, make their calling and election sure, or to have that great question concerning their soul's salvation put out of question. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. O Lord, remember those seeking thee, if haply they might find thee, and to find in thee all their desire, all their salvation, and all that a trembling sinner needs. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All for this man receive his sinners, but all to know him. Lord, remember each one gathered here this night. Oh, do bless each soul, touch each heart, do poor sinners good. And oh, Lord, may none return back to their homes disappointed, feeling to have been left out, feeling there was nothing for them. But may there be that portion for seven and also for eight. Lord, remember that eighth soul. Oh, that one in great need. That one in great trouble. That one in great distress. Oh, that one who has come to thy house tonight trembling. Oh, Lord, that one who has come to thy house hoping against hope, or longing for a word in due season, a word to come expressly unto them, a word to be applied upon their hearts, a word upon which it might please thee to cause them to hope, to rest upon, to trust, to feel that confidence it proceedeth from the Lord. O Lord, remember that one who has many fears, spiritual, providential. O Lord, there may be things in the coming week, matters of great difficulty and can hardly be faced. But I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, who go before, remember such. Oh, Lord, who remember each one from the youngest to the eldest. May the gathering of the people be unto thee. And again we pray for thy felt presence here, that it might be noised abroad this night that Jesus is in the house. Oh, make thy presence known and felt. Did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us in the way and opened to us the scriptures? Lord, we would remember those unable to come tonight, those at home with little ones, those laid aside in affliction, sickness, infirmity, any who may be away at this time. Oh, Lord, remember them, we pray. Lord, who bless this cause of truth, work mightily in their midst. Lord, may they, like Manoah and his wife of old, look on while the angel did wondrously. Bless the church with peace and prosperity. Oh, may there yet be souls constrained by the love of Christ. Oh, Lord, those made willing in the day of thy power, come and hear. all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. O Lord, remember them in this. And O Lord, would it please thee to draw others in also, such as shall be saved from this village and the surrounding neighbourhoods and many who pass by. O Lord, bring back the prodigals. Thou knowest where they are, how far they have gone. Thou alone art able to bring them back. Help thy servants who minister here from time to time. May they come a sent of God. And O Lord, bless the ministry here. Bless thy people here. Lord, remember Zion. O Lord, we live in very solemn days, a dark day, an evil day. And yet thy hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor thine ear heavy that it cannot hear, but oh, how we fear and tremble as our sins which are separated between us and our God, and our iniquities which have caused him to hide his face that he will not hear. Oh, but Lord, for Jesus' sake, look upon thy people. O Lord, in this dark and evil day to which our lot has been cast, oh, for grace to be kept faithful. O Lord, faithful in all our ways, in our callings, in our responsibilities, faithful unto God and thy word, thy ways. Left to ourselves, we become faithless, full of fear. Lord, remember Zion, remember thy people throughout the whole earth, especially those who suffer persecution, imprisonment and sorrow, not favoured as we are favoured. And Lord, we feel led to remember those causes in Australia, in our connection, following the loss of their dear pastor, Mr. Seymour. Oh, do comfort them in their loss at this sad time. And Lord, what it means to them. For Lord, in our nation, when one and another of thy servants are taken to glory, there are others who can help from time to time. But there, in that far-off nation, there is no one else. They're now without pastor, without a minister. We understand Mr. Wheatley has gone out for a few weeks. Lord, when he returns, oh, do remember them there and appear for them in their great, great need. Oh, Lord, how favoured we are. Perhaps we take it for granted and think little of it. Lord, how many other blessings that we have. Oh, how many other privileges and comforts that we enjoy to which we remain unmindful, unthankful. Do we not read in everything, give thanks? Lord, remember our nation, and the nations of the earth of this time, and the tumultuous events that are happening all around us. Lord, rule over those who rule over us. It is our comfort to know that thou art upon the throne. Almighty God in control, not a single shaft can hit, till the God of love sees fit, all events at his command. Lord, hear our prayer, forgive our every sin, and help us now as we turn to thy word. And may thy word, as it were, turn to us, and may thy glorious voice be heard. Compassion on us have, we pray. And empty send us not away, as we ask all for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
hymn number 1103. O thou that hearest the prayer of faith, wilt thou not save a soul from death that casts itself on thee? I have no refuge of my own, but fly to what the Lord has done and suffered once for me. Hymn 1103.
The Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention this evening to three words that you will find in the Epistle to the Romans chapter 15. And from verse 13, these words, peace in believing. From Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. I'll read the whole verse. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. But it is these three words which have seemed to rest upon my spirit to set before you tonight. Peace in believing. I do feel there are a few here tonight who have known and perhaps do know a little of our text, and how wonderful it is, how precious it is, how beautiful it is to know this peace in believing. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of our never dying souls. You see, it's not a natural peace here. This is a spiritual peace, a peace one cannot give himself. But peace I give unto you, a peace given by the Lord. And when he giveth peace, who then can cause trouble? I do rather feel there are some here tonight longing to know this peace in believing. All this peace which the Lord gives to his dear people. Not a false peace. Oh, the Lord save us from a false peace. What a deception. How awful. As it were to steal from the word of God, to misapply a text unto ourselves, and to say that we have peace when we have no real peace. To try to delude ourselves that we have that peace. But it's not that peace which the Lord has given. The peace which the Lord gives unto his people is that peace which passeth all understanding. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. Oh, to know that peace in reconciliation, God and sinners reconciled through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or that peace in his sin atoning blood being applied upon the conscience. Or that peace of knowing that our sins are all forgiven, blotted out. Or to know that peace that we are clothed upon in Christ's imputed righteousness, so beautifully penned by the Apostle, accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in that Beloved, in the Beloved. All that peace of making our calling and election sure. That peace to know that we are born again, that our treasure is above. That peace in knowing that Christ has died for me, that my sins were laid upon him when he bore the sins of many. Oh, there we can see all the sins of the whole election of grace, every chosen vessel of mercy. But that will be little comfort to any living soul until he knows that his sins also were laid upon Christ. all that peace of knowing that we are found in the right way, the narrow way which leadeth unto life, all that peace of being one of his true disciples, one of the spiritual children of Israel, or one of the Lord's dear people, that heaven will be our eternal home. Peace in believing. Those of you here tonight longing for that peace in believing, it's because you feel your lack of it. It's something you desire to have, something you desire to obtain, to possess, that peace in believing. Well, it must be at present that you are in trouble, the opposite of peace. You are unconcerned, you have no peace, you long for that peace, you seek after that peace, you pray for that peace, you long to find that peace. Is it not your soul which is in trouble? As the Lord made known unto you that you have a never-dying soul, that eternity stands before each and every one of us, and we know not the day of our death, the old shall die, the young may die, but one thing is for sure, all shall die. It is appointed unto men once to die. There can be no avoiding. Or a most solemn appointment, time made in our life when we shall die. It's a one certainty in life. All the uncertainties that we have, the future wisely hidden. We know not what a day shall bring forth. Tomorrow we may have plans, we may have thoughts, we may have ideas. It could all completely change. God is in control. Are we concerned over the day of our death and where we shall spend eternity? Well, my dear friends, we shall spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. And every one of us deserve to go to hell. Be sure of that. Why? Because we're all sinners. We have all broken the holy law of God. Exemption, none can boast. Or we are all guilty sinners before an holy, heart-searching, almighty, eternal God. All the great leveller is sin, is death. It levels all mankind, from the beggar to the monarch. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Was it a hymn writer who penned, though all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own. I do feel there are a few so here tonight, sinners in your own sight. Or you've been convicted of your sins. The Lord has sent that arrow of conviction. Or it may not be that you've been, as it were, shaken over hell. It may not be, as Saul of Tarsus, you've been suddenly caught, cut down. It may be here a little, there a little. Did we mention Lydia this morning, there of Philippi by the riverside? What do we read concerning her, whose heart the Lord opened? And what was the effect? Where the Lord opens hearts, there will be a most gracious effect, something that the world cannot do, something the flesh cannot do. She attended unto those things spoken by the apostle, which was a gospel. She began to listen. She began to hearken. Now, one may listen critically. One may listen just out of interest. But not so with Lydia. When the Lord opened her heart, then she listened concerning her never-dying soul and a never-ending eternity. Or how she listened to the gospel being preached and being brought into concern, brought into soul trouble. She longed for that peace in believing. All that we do have troubles in our lives. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I'm sure each and every one, in various degrees and number, have our troubles. Many may be hidden, some more exposed. We have our troubles, or there may be great troubles, pressing troubles, troubled on every side. But not one of them can compare to soul trouble. You see, the troubles that we have in our lives are but for life. And at death, they will no longer be a trouble. But what of soul trouble? What of eternity? Or what of heaven and hell? How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus Christ thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? And you see these souls who are brought into trouble, who are convicted of their sins, whose hearts the Lord has opened, or they cry out, where must I go? Or whither flee to escape the wrath that's due to me? Or they're convicted of this very solemn truth that they deserve to be cast into hell, a hell-deserving sinner, a fallen, guilty, wretched, miserable sinner. The Lord, as he opens a heart, and you take it even in nature, you open something, generally speaking, the light shines in. Well, so it is spiritually. When the Lord opens a heart, the light of his truth shines into that heart. And some very solemn discoveries are made. Because the heart of man is deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked. Oh, so corrupt, so evil, so proud, so covetous, so idolatrous. Oh, how wicked is the heart of man. And by the light of God's truth shining into the heart, all those sins which were once hidden away in the darkness are now made manifest in the light, and that soul, oh, he trembles before an holy heart-searching God. By and by the Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost, confession is made. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we're not saved because we confess our sins, or we're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ alone, by his finished work upon Calvary's tree. And yet the Lord would have his people confess their sins, acknowledge their transgressions, come before him with a broken heart, a contrite spirit, with that godly sorrow which worketh repentance. Oh, it's the Lord who must change a heart, renew the will, turn the feet to Zion's hill. It's that new man of grace. Now the soul who trembles before an holy God, for our God is a consuming fire. All that sight of God out of Christ is a terror to every soul. We live in such a day of little respect, and how man speaks of God as if he is such a one of himself. Man speaks very blasphemy of God. And yet that soul to whom the Lord will show but a little of his holiness, his majesty, his glory, his power. All that soul who then feels to be but as the dust of the earth, a worthless, guilty worm. All that soul trembles before such an God, the Almighty, the Sovereign, full of majesty and power and glory. Oh, how that soul cries out. A soul may feel there is no hope, and he feels there is no peace. No peace between him and God. A ruined, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Against thee only have I sinned, and done all this evil in thy sight. That soul is humbled under the mighty hand of God. All that soul is brought to lay prostrate before Almighty God in confession of sin. And yet as the Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost, will continue and deepen that work of grace, the Lord showing that soul themselves as lost, ruined, guilty, in his appointed time, will so teach them concerning his mercy. Oh, what a wonderful theme for any troubled soul. God is merciful. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, but some may cry out, oh, there can't be any forgiveness for me. I'm too much of a sinner. All my sins abound. All my sins are immense. Oh, I'm so unbelieving. I'm so hard-hearted. I'm so wretched. I'm so vile. And those fears of not being one of the chosen, not being one of the elect. And yet that burden of the guilt of sin lays heavy upon their souls. And still they long for salvation. They long for peace. They long for pardon. They long for forgiveness, and or they hope against hope. And with the publican of old, how they cry out, oh, not in mere lips, as it were, the voice of the mouth only speaking, but from the depths of the heart. Or when there's prayer within our prayers, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Or have we prayed that prayer? We may have said that prayer. The two are very, very different. You must answer before God. Have you really prayed that prayer? Every single word. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Does it not show that you have been taught your need of God's mercy? That you are a sinner? That you have nothing to pay? That you are bankrupt? That you've been stripped of all your own self-righteousnesses? That you stand guilty before an holy God, and yet hoping in his mercy. So you try to pray. Lord, help me to pray. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And I believe once the Spirit has, as it were, wrought that prayer into the heart of a living soul, a needy soul, a guilty soul, that soul will continue praying that prayer until that prayer is answered. Until that soul has obtained God's mercy. Until that soul knows that peace in believing. Now the Lord, in manifesting his mercy unto his dear people, by the power of the Holy Ghost, the teaching of the Spirit, the leading of the Lord, will draw them to the door of his mercy. Oh, that there is a door of God's mercy, where the living family of God come knocking. Oh, knocking upon the door of God's mercy, hoping, praying, pleading, beseeching that door might be open to them. Still, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now, what is the door of God's mercy? The door of thy mercy stands open all day to the poor, to the needy, who knock by the way. No sinner shall ever be empty sent back who comes seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the door. Oh, that open door of God's mercy unto such who are taught their need of God's mercy. And in Christ there is peace. Believing in him, all that peace in believing. Peace by his cross as Jesus made the church's ever living head. Oh, but to know that peace in believing. You see, these dear souls, as they're drawn to Christ, they're brought to Christ, taught to look unto Jesus and be ye saved. But they long to be made sure. Or they long to know that peace in believing. And I feel it's a cry of these dear burden-seeking souls, as that one of old when he cried out, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. May be the prayer of some here tonight. Lord, I believe. When we say that, what is it that we're really testifying? We believe that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. We believe the Lord Jesus came down to earth from heaven. We believe that he became a real man, taking in union with his divine nature, a human nature, a real man. We believe that he was born at Bethlehem, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Or we believe he lived that holy life. He never, ever sinned. Sorely tempted by Satan, and how mainly the Jews sought to catch him in his words, to cause him to fall or stumble. But no, the Lord Jesus knew no sin. Undefiled, separate from sinners. And yet we believe that he laid down his life. All that one offering for sin forever. And there at Calvary, all there where the sins of the whole election of grace, all the Lord's people, were laid upon him, he suffered, he bled, he died. He who fulfilled the holy law of God, who magnified that law and made it honourable, who brought out that robe of righteousness to cover and clothe his people, now upon the cross sheds his own heart's precious blood. For without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. As it was Jesus who would save his people from their sins. Then to believe that he truly died, was laid in that tomb, on the third day rose again, that glorious resurrection morning, made himself known unto his favoured disciples. And then from Bethany ascended up on high, leading captivity captive, receiving gifts for men, and is now at the right hand of the Father in glory above. Now may the Lord save us from a mere head knowledge of these precious truths and the doctrines of Christ. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, as the Lord may help me, I wish to put this to you. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there came those wise men from the east. You see, they believed. They'd seen his star in the east and they come to worship him. Now, for a time, they leant upon their own understanding, whereas he born king of the Jews, and they presumed that the king would be born in Jerusalem. So they take their eyes off the star and go to Jerusalem. And what a dreadful mistake and what awful consequences it had to those many families in Bethlehem who lost their little ones because of that mistake. Now, the point is this. When inquiry is made to their question, it was the religious leaders, the scribes, the elders, who brought forth, as it were, the word of God, the scriptures, and they rightly said that Christ, the Messiah, would be born at Bethlehem. The wise men, who surely were made wise unto salvation, went to Bethlehem and worshipped Christ. How awful to think that those scribes and leaders who brought forth the scriptures, which so clearly showed them and made known unto them where Christ should be born, never went to him. Perished in their sins. You see that great difference between a head knowledge and heart knowledge. Where the Lord works in the heart, souls must come to Christ, must find Christ. We have in the Song of Solomon, there really the church and Christ, the bride and the bridegroom. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? I sought him, but I found him not. But she continued seeking, because there was no peace until she had found him. And she continued seeking until she had found him. Oh, when she had found him, what peace! Oh, what peace filled her heart. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Blessed with that peace in believing. And the Lord Jesus has said so simply and yet so clearly, seek and ye shall find. And every one of the Lord's dear people will be given grace to seek the Lord while he may be found and to call upon him while he is near. Or there will be that seeking him in that great need of him to find him and to be found in him and to know that peace in believing. You see, there is a certain amount of peace in seeking Christ, longing to find him. And that peace really is found, as it were, in the word of God. Those promises, faith lays hold, faith believes. And so the soul hopes against hope, now the God of hope. So the Lord grants to his people this grace of hope. But they long for that peace in believing. My beloved is mine, and I am his. I feel there are souls here who long to know that peace, when the Lord speaks pardon and peace. As Jesus said to one and another, son, daughter, thy sins, which are many, have all been forgiven thee. Oh, may the Lord save us from that false peace, presuming that we become a Christian so our sins are forgiven. Oh, but to hear from his very mouth. Oh, to hear from those sweet lips of his that our sins, which are innumerable, have all been forgiven, put away, pardoned. All that peace in believing. Yes, to know that peace which passeth all understanding, that we have found in Christ Jesus. To know his love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit, the Comforter. Does not the Lord Jesus there speak, both in John 14 and John 16, concerning the Holy Spirit as a comforter? What comfort can a Saviour bring to those who have never felt their woe? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every one to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Peace in believing. The time of love will come, when ye shall clearly see, not only that he shed his blood, but ye shall say, for me, precious time, wonderful time, when the Lord reveals himself, or when the Lord makes known himself. I do feel there's some here tonight who can point to those times and places. And perhaps it was here in his very sanctuary, where the Lord may know his love, or where the Lord was pleased to bless with that sweet assurance and comfort and power of the Holy Ghost, or where that soul was brought to know, to understand, to feel, to prove that peace in believing. Oh, that wonderful time of peace, lifted above everything and everyone else. All doubts and fears scattered. Satan, as it were, cast away for a time. And that soul blessed with peace, true peace, not false peace, but true peace in believing. Or in believing that one has found grace in his sight. Believing our sins have all been forgiven, that where our sins abound, oh, his grace have much more abounded. Oh, to know that blood applied. My face shall lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand, and there confess my crime. Again, sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend, life and health and peace possessing from the dying sinner's friend. All that peace in believing. But then I desire, as the Lord may help me further to speak from this word. You see, we have our lives to live. We have our daily callings. And you see, in the world ye shall have tribulation. So many troubles, so many sorrows, so many hardships, so many difficulties, so many problems, so many matters. But you see, to a child of God, all there is this peace in believing. That is, trusting in God and leaving everything in his hands. In meditation, my mind went to Hannah. And you see, she was in great grief and great sorrow. She had an adversary who sorely troubled her, who provoked her sore, to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. You see, there was no peace to Hannah. It was a sore trial, a fiery trial, one which she must pass through. She went up to the house of God. She went up weeping and in supplication. Oh, how she went into the temple of the Lord in bitterness of soul. She prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Oh, how she cried out unto the Lord to appear, to have mercy, have compassion, to remember her. Dear Eli, he misunderstood. How long wilt thou be drunk and put away thy wine from thee? And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She had that peace in believing the Lord had answered her prayer. Before they call, I will answer. Oh, she had that peace in believing the Lord would appear, the Lord would provide, the Lord would go before, the Lord would undertake. She left it all in the hands of God. Go in peace. It just comes to mind that word in the Philippians, so well known, so well loved, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, I'll just stop there. Do you know the difference between prayer and supplication? Really, they're one of the same. It's all prayer, but you take it as a river. And you see a river flowing gently, smoothly. That may be prayer. It's living, there's movement, it's going one way. But then following, we might say, a storm of rain, or the river comes to a very narrow passage. It's the same river, it's the same water, but now it's pouring through. Or it may be like a torrent thundering through. I remember some years ago visiting my parents in America, and up in the Rocky Mountains, this particular river going through this narrow gorge, and the power of it, the strength of it was almost frightening, but that supplication. Oh, when you urgently cry unto the Lord, when your heart is pouring out its complaint unto God, that supplication, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, thankful to find there yet is room before the throne of grace, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace in believing that our prayers are heard. Our poor, broken prayers. Or our poor prayers which come forth from our heart. It may be like Hannah. All the lips move, but there's no words. Really, it's quite wonderful to consider how good the Lord is, that we don't have to come before him with eloquent prayers of perfect grammar and speech and very well put together. Some of us perhaps often feel ashamed of our prayers, feeling our prayers to be so poor and so lacking. But you see, God looks upon the heart. Or more than what man can do. God sees the needs of his people. And perhaps at times there are those prayers which we can't even express. We can't even put into words. Or there is that prayer of two words. Thou knowest. Thou knowest. And it encompasses so much. Lord, thou knowest. Peace in believing that God hears our prayers, and peace in believing he is a living God. His compassions, they fail not. The Lord is good, the Lord is gracious, the Lord is kind. Whatever Satan may say, whatever unbelief may say, whatever the world may say, whatever our fears may say, God is good. Good to provide a throne of grace. Good that whoever we are, whatever we are, wherever we are, we may come to the Lord in the throne of grace. Be it 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 o'clock in the morning, it makes no difference. The Lord slumbereth not. All his ears are ever open to hear the prayers or cries of his people. Pray if thou canst or canst not pray, but pray with faith in Jesus' name. All that peace in believing, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Oh, that we have one to go to without every distress. It may be in some things we cannot even tell our nearest and dearest. It may be we're too ashamed, or we're too frightened, or we don't want to trouble them, we don't want to worry them, we don't want to upset them. Well, go and tell Jesus. Pour out your heart before him, or make it all known to him. That peace in believing the Lord hears. And the Lord answers. Now, as I mentioned this morning, it may not be the answer that we want, but it be the answer that we need. Or the answer that we need. The Apostle Paul prayed thrice that their thorn in the flesh might be removed. The Lord didn't remove it. But the Lord spake unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I believe the apostle knew something of that peace in believing the sufficiency of God's grace. And some may have some great trials to pass through. Some may have that thorn in the flesh. Or some may have that dark pathway. But my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, to know that peace in believing. Then again, it may be personal, it may be in our families, it may be in the Church of God, it may be around concerning our neighbours, it can be in our land or in our nations. Oh, so many storms, so many troubles, so many things happening, seeming to be out of control, we cannot control. God is in control. If the Jewish nation in a time of Esther, those scattered throughout the provinces, would fully believe that God was in control, they wouldn't have feared as much as they did. That God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Now, do we believe the things that we say that we believe? And do we not believe that God is in control? We might say that we do when things are calm, things are straightforward, things are easy, the wind is behind us, it's plain sailing. To say that God is in control, yes. In a day of prosperity, God is in control, yes. But what when the wind is contrary? What when things are going wrong? What when our enemies surround us? Or what when we feel to be in great jeopardy and fear that we shall perish, we shall never be brought through? Or what when the hand of the Lord seems to be against us? What when our prayers do not seem to be answered? What when I cry and shout, but all my prayer he shutteth out? Do we still believe that God is in control? What when we see Haman's being raised up to power? Or what when we see the Lord's people suffering? Still to believe that God is in control? What when we hear Satan roaring, "Where is now thy God?" Our God is in the heavens, and he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him, because God is in control. God is upon the throne, sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. All my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. Peace in believing. I ask you a question. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? And I'm sure there are many, many different answers in your minds tonight. Those things which cast you down, those things which disquieting you, those things which vex you and trouble you. Well, you know the answer, don't you? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh, to prove and to know that peace in believing, my help cometh from the Lord. Those of you praying tonight, Lord, help me. I need thy help. All that peace in believing that the Lord will help. He can help. He is almighty. He is omnipotent. He is very merciful and gracious, a very present help. Oh, send thee help from the sanctuary. Strengthen thee out of Zion. But to know that peace in believing that the Lord will help. Hope thou in God. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, may we each be brought to know something of his peace in believing.
The collections last Lord's Day were £765, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Burgess will preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 697. O thou lovely, loving Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now, henceforth and ever, to adore thy matchless name. Give us, blessed Jesus, give us a sweet glimpse of thy sweet face. From all carking care relieve us, fill us with thy boundless grace. Hymn 697.
Thank you.
the grace of the Saviour, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.